It's a pretty well-known fact that this industry does a really bad job of providing opportunities to train and to teach people to do their roles. It's assumed when you come into an agency that you know what you're doing or you've learned about it somewhere else. But that is so wrong that it is exciting to see that some people and some organizations, some individuals are creating programs that provide opportunities for strategists to learn and to be exposed to different aspects of this practice and of this industry. The other side of this is the idea that we're doing an even worse job at attracting diverse talent from different socioeconomic backgrounds, from different ethnic backgrounds. And this has become a super hot topic in the last few months. I wanted to do this episode because I heard about it through Twitter and I'd seen some posts from Rob Campbell. This is an episode about the Brixton Finishing School. And the Brixton Finishing School was developed as a program to try and encourage the industry to recruit people from more diverse backgrounds. And it has been it's been around, I believe, for a couple of years, started by Ali Owens. And it's a terrific, terrific program, a 10-week program, a free program for people, I think, between the ages of 18 and 25, I think. But Neem Paul is the guest today. She has just recently graduated from the Brixton School. And I connected with her because I saw a post on Twitter and we talked. And I was just super impressed by her, as I know you will be when you hear this. Just listen to the confidence that she has coming out of this program. And I think that that's a testament to the people who helped her through this. And she mentions many of them. Trevor Webb at Iris, Joe Toluge at Mother in London, Rob Campbell, Ali Owens, Dave Trott mentioned in here because of his book, which I just started reading, Creative Blindness. Definitely a good book to read, as all of Dave Trott's work is. But I encourage you to give this a listen. One of the things that's very clear from this is that, and Neem talks to it, is that while talent doesn't discriminate, opportunity does. And so we have a responsibility as strategists to begin to mentor people and to provide opportunities for people that we see a spark of passion in and we see the ability to make a difference. So I would encourage us all to do that. There's also one other thing. You know, I'm a big fan of Neve, and her contact details are at the end of this episode, and I encourage somebody to hire her. And if you want to get in touch with her, it's Neve. Neve is spelled N-I-A-M-H, and last name Paul, P-A-U-L. You can skip to the end of the episode if you want her email address and other details. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. I love to do this for people that are starting out in the industry and for programs that are encouraging people in the industry. Neve, while she attended Brixton, was also she also received the CREAM Award, which is a program. It's a special award given to strategists and creatives who are young people that are starting out. And I think it's, it involves Campaign Magazine and Creature, the agency in London. They're not they're not a part of Brixton, but they're a program and an alliance that is trying to do much the same thing as what Brixton is trying to do, which is encourage new people to come into our industry. So Neve Paul, Brixton Finishing School, enjoy. Welcome, Neve. It's so great to have you here. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you for having me, Fergus.
This will be cool. So I've I heard about Brixton, the Brixton Finishing School, originally from Rob Campbell, who you know well because he was one of the lecturers, right?
Yeah, he was actually the first show. Well, he was at RGA at the time, and they did the first showcase for Brixton, which was, yeah, he's a great guy.
So when you say the first showcase, what do you mean by that?
So each week on a Monday, an agency will come in and they will showcase their agency and what they do to us. And then at the end of it, they will set us a task for the week. And during the week, we're split into groups. And during the week, we work with our team leads and our mentors to put together a presentation to pitch back to the agency on either the Thursday morning or the Friday morning. And then they give us feedback Normally they have winners and they sort of like incentivize it that way because there's some, you know, like rewards or yeah. So it's pretty cool.
And so with Rob, he came in and gave you guys a lot of grief and inspired you guys.
Yeah. He gave us this brief, which was to sell him a packet of dog food, which was really difficult, but also really fun.
And that was it. That's what he said.
Yeah, so there was two packets of dog food and one of them had a picture of a dog smiling and the other one didn't have a picture of a dog smiling. And he said, you've got the one without the dog smiling. Sell it to me on Friday. That was
I love it. That's great. So tell us, what is the Brixton Finishing School?
I mean, the best way it was described to me before I started is that talent doesn't discriminate and talent is actually distributed evenly across the UK, but opportunities for everyone with talent aren't evenly distributed. And at the moment, I'm sure you're noticing like a lot of firms are realizing they have the same type of person, like a lot of the same type of people. And there's nothing wrong with being a same type of person, but when everyone in the room has similar backgrounds and upbringings and everyone's sort of bringing something similar to the table. And Ali Owen saw this need for diversity of minds in the industry. And Ali came from a working class background herself. And so she saw and understood the struggle of being different. But instead of seeing being different as an obstacle, she saw the value of being different and what being different can and should bring to the table. So Brixton Finishing School is a 10-week intensive course designed to disrupt the way the industry recruits talent. And it's open to anyone aged 18 to 25, I should say. And yeah, it's basically like the purpose of it was to open the door for people from ethnic minority backgrounds, LGBTQI people, neurodiverse people, people from working class backgrounds and females. And yeah, it's basically a solution to the current diversity problem in the industry.
So they sort of use this as a way to bring in folks who demonstrate, at least to Ali and the team, some talent, some passion. I assume that's part of how you sort of get in. I mean, do you have to pitch an idea to get into Brixton, or is it an interview process, or how does that work?
Yeah. So there's a 2-stage interview process. So basically like the morning of the group interview, they sent out a brief, which was to come up with an idea for a mobile app that solves a real world problem. And they sent this out just as the pandemic was starting, when they announced the school was going to be made virtual. So obviously it was a real world problem, had to be topical. And so you had to come up with the concept, the core functions, and the vision of where this app is going to sit in the world. And when they sent out the brief, I was hooked. I spent the whole day thinking about it and writing things down. And I came up with an idea for a mental health help app called Hand Up. And the USP of it was that there was going to be a map and alert system. So it actually came about from when I was talking with my dad about how people with mental health would be affected as a result of the pandemic. And what could an app do to help this group of people as the pandemic unfolds and hopefully calms down? So for example, if someone's on a train in 6 months' time and they have a panic attack, this app would send an alert out to people on the train that have the same app with like sort of guidance on how to help that person. And it was also to sort of alleviate pressure on the NHS during the pandemic, where people in your area could help you, obviously socially distantly help you. Yeah. And then the second stage of the interview process from there, if you got selected, if they liked your idea, if you worked well in the group, was a one-on-one interview with an industry leader, which I was really nervous about, but it was really fine. I mean, it was like semi-informal. We just had to talk about, you know, my values, what I wanted to do in like 10 years time, why I wanted to go to Brixton Finishing School and stuff like that. And I guess they weren't really looking for people they weren't excluding people who have traditional advertising backgrounds or people with degrees, but they're sort of looking for certain qualities like eagerness to learn, whether you are great at creatively collaborating or strategic thinking. If you can demonstrate some of those qualities in that process, then that's what they want, basically.
And is it a graduate program or is it an undergrad program or is it decided to kind of define as something different than that? I mean, had you already gone to university or not?
Yeah, I went to university to do illustration. So I went on to do an internship at a publication in Amsterdam called Current Obsession as an editorial and designer. But obviously the pandemic happened and that didn't work out. And so I always try and like keep my finger on the pulse of potential career opportunities. So when I saw Bricks and Finishing School advertising, I'd never heard of them before. But I got to know them pretty quickly and I was like desperate to get on. I saw it was a free 10-week course for anyone. You could have a degree, you didn't need a degree. You could have years in the industry or no experience in the industry. So it was just so open that I didn't feel intimidated to apply, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. What about the... different tracks? Is there a strategy department, a creative department, or it are kind of a different programs within Brixton, or is it one overall program?
It's they don't have specific tracks. They do have, I guess the best way to describe it is like they really want you to rethink what you think you want to do. So when you start, they just expose you to as many avenues as possible, like programmatic, digital marketing, copywriting, creative ideation, strategy, art direction, design. But then also they do all these employability skills like office skills, team management workshops, conflict resolution, CV practice, stress management and career mapping. Like, it was crazy. And I thought I went into it thinking I'm going to be a creative, but actually they sort of nurture you to think about all the different avenues, where your strengths lie, what could, you know, all these different avenues you didn't even know were a thing before. So although they don't strictly have different departments, they do sort of, based on your skill set and your strengths, they do match you up with a mentor who is, I mean, the mentors are so different. They range from all different walks of life and all different parts of the industry. So I was matched with Joe Toulouse from Mother, who's an art director. I think that's because of my background in graphic design and illustration. They sort of try and match you based on that. But the rest of the course, they try and expose you to as much as possible.
When you look at your parents or your family, did they come, did they have a sort of an arts background? Were any of them in the advertising and marketing field?
Although my parents didn't exactly have like a creative career, my grandmother did. She was a fashion designer and practitioner and teacher for years. And she's definitely where I got my creativity from.
So as I understand it, each week is, the 10-week program is broken into week-long blocks, right? As you said earlier,
yeah.
Rob Campbell and others come in. They come in on a Monday. They do a briefing. They give you an assignment that you need to complete by Wednesday or by Friday, right? You get to present back to them. So walk us through a typical week. How does it go? What's the flow of the week?
On the Monday, they do this huge showcase and that takes up like half a day. And then on the Tuesday, there'll normally be a seminar with an industry leader who will talk you through probably their career, what advice they have to give us, insights they have, what their company does, how they can help us. And then on the Tuesday afternoon, there's like mentor sessions, either individually or in groups. And then on the Wednesday is like another big seminar where we'll meet more people. And then we sort of work on the brief the rest of the afternoon. And on Thursday, again, another big Zoom meeting as a group or a social club thing where we sort of get to meet the rest of the teammates. Because if we were doing this in person, we'd be working together in like a big room and we'd be able to talk to each other, but because we're on Zoom, we can't really talk to the other groups all the time as easily. So we set up this social group thing once a week where we get to meet other people in the other groups, which is quite good, but it's just crazy because it's all online.
So did you find when you got exposed to all these different people that you found that different people had very different perspectives on creativity? Or did you find there was a kind of a consistency that you noticed across how people felt about it?
I think everyone, because everyone comes from such like different backgrounds and everyone's got different experiences, everyone's got their own take on every brief for a start. So whenever it comes to that first like ideation session, people's inputs are so different. But when it comes to workload, definitely you can tell that some people are there to put all the hours in and get all the work done, and some people can just do work in like 2 minutes and it's amazing. And there's just so many different people that you meet. But I don't know if everyone's got hugely different
perceptions. No, sometimes what happens is, because I've noticed since we've been doing the show that a lot of people, in terms of their approach to strategy, it's very difficult to find any two people who think about it the same way, or who approach it the same way, who talk about it the same way. And I think that's really important for people to know, because the reality is, I think there's a lot of sort of what's labeled imposter syndrome I think in every profession. And so we're all, the vast majority are always thinking, God, is there something that I'm missing that I should be doing? Is there a certain approach that's magical that will make my life simpler that I haven't discovered yet? And so everybody's always chasing the next shiny thing and kind of sniffing around to see whether or not it's valuable. And so they take pieces of it that they find valuable, and then they put it together in their own way. And the result is that, and it's the reflection of reality, which is there is no one way to approach anything. And some schools, I think, tend to approach things from a more structured way. But it seems like Brixton isn't really about academics or the academics of creativity or strategy. It's more about exposing you to the culture of it through individuals who have been there and done it themselves.
That's a big thing that Rob Campbell was talking to us about as well, is about the best thing you can do is to be you and to bring your own experiences to the table when it comes to creatively problem solving or thinking how to implement a creative strategy or an idea. And the way everyone puts that together is going to be different in their head, and the way everyone presents it is going to be different.
The reason that you got on my radar for today, obviously Rob Campbell has been at Brixton, but the reason you did is because I think I saw a tweet somewhere that you had won the CREAM Award. You were amongst the CREAM Award winners. Tell us about what CREAM is and how are they affiliated with Brixton?
So CREAM is an annual competition, and it's aimed at helping the best young talent in the UK to get a foot in the door of the creative industry. And the CREAM Collective is actually made up of like the three big names: The Talent Business, Creature London, and Campaign Magazine. And so before Brixton started, they sent out an optional taster brief so we could sort of like get a feel for what we'd be doing over the next 10 weeks. And I sort of signed up to it without really knowing anything about anything. So when it came to how CREAM is, so we got given a mentor basically for, I think it was like nearly 2 months before Brixton started. So we had quite a long time to work on this one brief.
This was the brief that was sent out by CREAM, and then you could accept it or you didn't have to. It was a choice.
Yeah. So it was optional, and it was sort of like fed out through Brixton's channels to us. So CREAM sent it to Brixton, Brixton sent it to us. So it used to be that CREAM selects winners based on their entire book, but this year CREAM was different. The whole world's been different this year, and they decided to just judge people based on one brief, and it had to be a topical brief. It had to be the most important brief. So yeah, that's basically how it worked this year.
So then CREAM is going, it's not affiliated with Brixton, but it actually, they recognize that Brixton is a source for new talent. So they share it with Brixton as well as with other advertising programs or schools throughout Britain.
Yes. Yeah.
So what was the brief that you were given by Cream?
So it was a video brief, and it was Stu from Creature, and he said that everyone is saying right now that everything's going to be all right. You know, we're talking to Nan more, we're baking more, life is going to be better when we come through the end of this. But there's this hard, harsh reality that there's going to be a recession when this pandemic is over. So the brief was to create a campaign for any brand or charity that turns lockdown into lasting positive change. And the title was called Turn New Hope into New Action.
And how did you interpret that?
Oh my God. So when I first watched the video, there was this big blank page moment. And I just knew, honestly, though, it was so sort of vague, and I had no idea how to go about it. And I knew that the problems left as a result of the pandemic were going to be overwhelmingly big, and it just felt like these problems were so much bigger than me. And so to break up the big problem, I sort of had to break it into lots of little problems, and I wrote down loads of word associations and, you know, mind maps and anything that sprang to mind. And so I was trying to break down the effects, the direct and indirect knock-on effects that the pandemic were going to have in the UK, like unemployment, depression, the death toll, education, NHS, politics, recession, all of it. And with the help of my mentor, Trevor Webb, he works at Iris as a copywriter. He was so patient. He was just incredible. I couldn't have asked for a better mentor. We went through loads of ideas, even though initially it was hard to get the ball rolling. I think where I was going wrong initially is because I was trying to tackle the knock-on effects rather than tackling the actual issue. But for me, because I don't have a traditional advertising background, when I was working on this brief, I kept thinking, what is the idea? Like, what does this idea directly solve? How can this idea work? And I kept bringing the ideas to my mentor, Trevor, and he would say something like, this is nice, but what does this actually do to help? Or this is a big idea, but could it work? And between us, we would pressure test every idea. So he burned through a lot of duds. And then one weekend I was reading Dave Trott's Creative Blindness, and he mentioned this method of putting two problems together to create a solution. And I think subconsciously I had like a bit of an aha moment shortly after I read that. So I sort of sat down and I identified the main problem, that the big problem is that 10% of Britain are going to lose their jobs as a result of the pandemic. And another problem is that 64% of Brits have always wanted to start their own business, but fear of failure holds them back. And then that's when I was like, oh my God, but the pandemic's removed that fear of failure. And then I was, basically I learned what an insight was. And I read an insight about how brands that are seen right now to be actively helping, not just talking about helping, actively helping, are perceived in the most positive light by the public. And then that was the moment that the solution was right there. And that's how I came up with Unite, basically.
And so tell us about what Unite is.
So it's going to be a platform for competing big brands to step up to the plate and help create career opportunities like no other. And the strategy was to get big brands to help the UK post-lockdown by uniting to support the startup ideas of people who have been made redundant. And to bring the idea to life, I was going to execute like these in-store advertising campaigns on labels and on posters and stuff like that, and on the display ads as well for the website. And so each brand will badge a product line where a small percentage will go to supporting the scheme. And the scheme is basically, these big brands will have like a hit squad of their best minds to help close that gap for startup failure, and to just really try and make something positive come out of such a hugely negative time we've had in 2020.
Walk us through how people would experience it through communication or through culture.
Yeah. So I basically found out that when people are made redundant or unemployed, or they spend something like upwards from 38 hours a week online, either trying to find a new job or researching or trying to upskill. And it's crazy. They spend so much time online. So for me, that felt like the natural starting point to reach these people. So there's going to be so many people at the end of this pandemic, brilliant minds that suddenly don't have a job to go back to. And I just thought, what a waste of brilliant minds for them to sort of find themselves in roles where they're completely overqualified for, or they've got big ideas, but they just don't know how to go about them. So I wanted to get this message out on social media that big brands, for the first time ever, are putting differences aside to create this hit squad where your ideas and your brilliant mind will be nurtured to create something, you know, to sort of like monetize your brilliant mind to bring your ideas into fruition. And so there was going to be like these labels in store, like on toilet roll, where it would say like bog roll equals job roll and a small percentage of...
So that's so the visually, the way this works, and I'm going to post, with your permission, I'll post your slides onto this episode page so people can see it. But some of the visuals kind of explain this better than talking through it. But it's basically the idea that product tags would have this connection to the program, indicating that a percentage of sales would go towards helping support and establishing new businesses. So I love the idea also that you mentioned in the deck, is that beyond just having the financial or the marketing support of the big brands, that big brands would also get involved in training, providing seminars, right, and other things like that. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, well, I think with this one, I don't know, when I was like, I hadn't started Bricks and Finishing School yet, but this idea that someone was going to, Brixton was going to invest in me, it felt, for the first time in a long time, I felt very hopeful. And that was the whole idea of the brief, was to turn hope into new action. So the idea of these big brands providing a support network, a lot of the problems with the schemes over here for startups is that although that you have this financial backing, you don't have the emotional support, the structural support, the know-how or the networking capabilities. And these are all things that these huge brands have in their, they have in their capabilities.
So this is something you did before you even started Brixton.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty great thinking. I mean, where the hell did that come from? Is this something where you have always had an interest in this sort of rounded out ideation and being able to think about how it works through all of the channels? Or did that come from interacting with Trevor? Did he help shape it? Or where did it come from? Because the thinking, you know, makes me feel like you've had training, but at that point you had not. That's at that point. Formal.
Yeah, no training whatsoever. I think I kept coming to Trevor with big ideas. Like we had one which was going to be about, so it was going to be like this segment that comes after the news, which told you directly what you can do to help. And it came from having a conversation with my mom, actually, because she said every time she watches the news during the pandemic, she feels hopeless. And I went away and thought to myself, wouldn't it be amazing if instead of feeling hopeless, you could feel hopeful after watching the news? And it was trying to turn this glut of negative information that's just thrown at you every day into a space for us to be proactive about it. And so like I kept coming to Trevor with these ideas, and what was great was that he could sort of help me understand either, so basic like pressure testing things, and sort of in a very nice and polite way explain to me why some ideas would be really difficult to get off the ground, or why some ideas are just completely unreasonable. But I think initially it was definitely just, you know, trying and failing. And I don't really know at what point the sort of aha moment came with trying to get it to work in the real world. But Trevor definitely taught me a lot in that time. And he was just so patient with me as well. I mean, I remember at one point he said, yeah, you've got some great observations and insights. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know what he means by that, but I'll go away and Google it afterwards.
So can you think of any ideas that you came up with, that ones that you really love but just didn't seem right ultimately? What were some of the other ways you were thinking?
So the news segment sort of campaign, we didn't come up with a name for it in the end, but we sort of scrapped it because not only were the ins and outs of how it could work in real time, what it was so hard to nail, but also for that campaign to work, it had to effectively work 6 months after the pandemic. But that idea relied so heavily on people's willingness to be altruistic, and it's hard to predict how altruistic people are going to be in 6 months' time post-pandemic. I know everyone's like helping each other out a lot now, but it's really difficult to say what that's going to be like in 6 months' time.
So that idea was based upon individuals, members of the public contributing?
Yeah. That was what that idea was based on. So it was kind of difficult to know. We had another one, which was, so a lot of kids are going to be going back to school, and some kids are going to be on the back foot because they might have been living in homes, like domestic violent homes and stuff like that. And so these kids are going to be on the back foot, and we wanted to create a communication tool for teachers to be able to spot these kids that were coming in from awful environments, and the last 6 months have been just terrible for them. And we were going to call it like the Communicat, and it was going to be this sort of like this not scary cat that gets kids to draw and gets kids to sort of talk about life for the last few months. But that was again, that one was really difficult to nail the ins and outs of how it was going to work, although it's a really important subject. I think we went with this one over that one because we just couldn't nail exactly how it was going to work, and time was running out.
So what was it about this idea, the Unite idea, that made it the winner? I mean, was it the one that you felt the most emotionally invested in, or was it a matter of trying to strike a balance between what could be achieved and when it could be achieved, or how it could be achieved?
It was definitely a mix of whether it was def- for me, it was that how is this going to directly affect people? Like, where can I see this in 6 months' time? How are people? And it was talking to my friends and to family members and just seeing it online, people that are being made redundant, and the sort of panic in everyone's eyes when they talk about it. And this is a real fear that we have right now. And I just thought, I'm trying to tackle all these things that are like could be byproducts of the pandemic, but actually there's such a big problem that's going to be caused by the pandemic that everyone has in their mind. And so that's, for me, that was why I chose this one. And the feedback I got from it was, it was really constructive criticism, but it was anonymous, so I didn't know who said it. But they said like it was a really lovely idea, although it would probably be tough to get off the ground. And they gave me a different way of thinking about it. Maybe it could be like partner with a bank to help connect the big and small businesses. And they said they'd love to see it happen in real life. The insight was good. I think they said the thinking was clear, and just to keep pushing to get this simpler and bolder, which I have been doing since I've been on the course. Definitely it's given me a lot more to work with. I've got more.
How did you interpret simpler and bolder?
I think my submission, because they said to submit 3 slides. At first I thought, great, only 3 slides. That's great. I was so wrong. It took so long. I think trying to whittle down a big idea into 3 pages, I really struggled with. But since then, and since being on Brixton and talking to strategists and talking to people that have been doing this for years, that get to buy was something I didn't know before. When I was writing.
Yeah, it's a wonderful framework.
I had no idea that was a thing. I was trying to write a strategy and I didn't really know what strategy was. So I think when they said try and get it simpler and bolder, I think for a start it was trying to cut down all the text on the submission. And also I think I could do more with the executions to make them a bit, you know, crazier.
But you didn't get to present it in person. Did you get to present it virtually, or did you just submit the slides?
No, I just had to submit it, which is why I felt I had to write so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's tough. You're in a tough position.
I kind of only signed up for it because I wanted some feedback for a project before I started Brixton. I didn't expect to win it.
So what happens now? So what happens now as a winner of the, do they call it the Cream Award, or how the Cream Collective Annual Award? Is that how they?
Yeah, They just call it the Cream Collective 2020. Cream Collective.
So what happens now as a result of being a winner?
So they're going to do, coming up soon, actually, I'm going to be showcased in Campaign magazine in September.
Nice.
Like an introduction to the industry. This is kind of some fresh new talent who's just won this competition. This is what they had to do. This is what they have to say about it. And so although they haven't announced, the winners publicly, they did say I was allowed to post on my own channels, which was nice. I mean, you got in contact with me from it and a few other people have got in contact with me from it. But I think the next step is for it to get pushed out into the Campaign magazine.
So what has it sort of been like for you since the award was announced?
I mean, a lot of people actually on Twitter and LinkedIn, from when I posted it and from when Brixton posted it, a lot of people have been in contact with me to offer advice and help or interview practice or work experience. So it's been really positively received by the industry.
Make sure they pay you.
Okay.
Anybody who hires Niamh has to pay right from the get-go. Don't take any internships. Jesus. You're too smart for, you're beyond entry level. Don't let them tell you otherwise.
That'd be amazing.
So one of the other things that you mentioned to me before we started recording was that you started off initially with sort of an interest in the creative side of the industry, but you sort of shifted back towards maybe strategy being the right sort of direction for you to follow. Tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, for as long as I can remember, I've been creative. I'm drawing all the time on everything. I've always had like an art and design background. I mean, for the past 5 years, I worked at Damien Hirst's Science, which is basically like his big warehouse, so they make all his big pieces. And like, that's always been my background. And I sort of didn't really question whether I could be anything else. But I know I love making things. I know I love coming up with ideas. But what I learned in my time doing these briefs on Brixton Finishing School and with Cream is that I'm really bothered by the how, like really bothered by it. How to implement these ideas, how the ideas need to work in the world. And what I didn't realize is that's called strategy. And that, I think, is what gets me up in the morning.
Where do you go from here? What's the hope for you, Niamh?
Oh, big! I've got big hopes, big dreams. But I guess I mean, you never stop learning and growing in your career, do you? But I guess for me, because this is just the start, I'm just really interested to carry on growing as a creative person, as a strategic thinker, and I can't wait to land my first junior position in an agency and get to work on millions more briefs. I think I've got a taste for it now, so I'm hooked.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Niamh Paul, and you know, Niamh, we want to make sure people can connect with you. So tell us how best to reach out to you. You want to give an email? Do you want to give a Twitter handle or LinkedIn? Or how do you want to do that?
So I'm just Niamh Paul on LinkedIn. Niamh is kind of spelt funny. It's N-I-A-M-H. And my email address is niamhpaul0@gmail.com.
And that's Paul as in P-A-U-L.
Yes, like the man's name.
Good luck, Niamh. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Bye now. Take care. And we'll see everybody in the next episode.